Welcome to the fourth sermon in our sermon series entitled, Practice Makes Powerful. Today's sermon title, The Power of Growth, Discipleship. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 through 26. And let's begin.
Some years ago, I had the opportunity to hear a woman named Liz Wiseman speak at a leadership conference that we had gone to. And she spoke about this incredible idea, this book that she'd written called Multipliers. And what she'd learned is they'd studied all of these different leaders, hundreds of leaders across different businesses and organizations. And they had this concept that they learned that the very best leaders make everybody around them better. They actually help people use their full intelligence, their full capabilities. And she said it started with this simple observation. She said, there's more intelligence in our organizations than we're using. And it led to this idea that there was a certain type of leader, they called them multipliers, who saw, used, and grew the intelligence of others, while other leaders, who she called diminishers, actually shut down the smarts of people around them. Here's what she said. She said, we've all had experience with two dramatically different types of leaders. The first type drains intelligence, energy, and capability from the people around them and always needs to be the smartest person in the room. These leaders are the idea killers, the energy sappers, the diminishers of talent and commitment. She said, but on the other side, there are those type of leaders. There are these other type of leaders who use their intelligence to actually amplify the smarts and capabilities of the people who are around them. She said, when these leaders walk into a room, light bulbs go off over people's heads. Ideas flow, problems get solved, and these are the leaders who inspire the employees, the people they work with, to stretch themselves, and they surpass expectations of what anybody thought could be done. And she said, these are the multipliers. And so they did all of this study and research and how they worked with different people and how what kind of like their strengths were. And she said, what happens is, what they learned from diminishers is, they were the people who were the micromanagers. So you've worked with these kind of people, right? Like, nothing could get done unless they're there telling you how to get it done, and they hoard all the resources, and they have to be the smartest person in the room, and they confuse people. She said, but in contrast, these multipliers attracted, like, incredibly talented people, and they would create these environments that they were intense, but they would have awesome things happening and draw out people's best thinking and their best work, and they got way more intelligence, way more capability out of people than the diminishers did. And she shares a really good story to illustrate it. Magic Johnson, the basketball player, even when he was in high school, he was incredibly talented. He was an incredible basketball player. And his coach sat down with him in high school and he said, okay, here's what I want you to do. Every time you get the ball, I want you, you'd think like pass, right? Like be part of the team. But no, the coach is like, every time you get the ball, you take the shot. So he's like, okay. And he did. And they won game after game after game. And the coach was happy because they were winning. And the team was happy because they loved being part of like an undefeated team. And he said they would score like 54 points in a game. And he would score like 52 of those whole points. And he said one time after the game, all the players were leaving the gym, walking out into the parking lot, and he noticed the faces of all of the parents who'd come to watch their kids play basketball. And he said what he realized was, instead of getting to see their kids play basketball, they get to see him make all the shots and be the superstar. So he said, I made a decision at that very young age that I would use my God-given talent to help everybody on the team be a better player. And it's actually how he got his nickname Magic, because what happened was he made the teams he played on better. So instead of just being the superstar athlete, which he was, the teams he was on were better because he was a part of it. Now, what's interesting is we've been around both of these types of people before, right? At work, in our families, like we've been around the people who make everybody around them better. And we've been around the other kind of people who just have the ability to suck the joy out of a room. Have you been there, right? Like they walk in and it's like a vacuum. And it's worse because they are there. And we don't even have to think hard. We've already got pictures in our head of who these people are, right? Like, I've had people in my life, like, I'm by them, and I'm, like, instantly smarter. Like, the best ideas of my life are popping out, right? And I'm, like, a genius when I'm around them. And I have other people, I'm not with them 5 minutes, and I'm, like, a 12-year-old awkward middle school girl again, and I can't even, like, string a sentence together, right? Like, you just feel less smart around them. It's so easy to identify this in other people, but what's so much harder is to look at our own selves and say, which side of the spectrum do I land on? Am I the kind of person that when I'm around, people are better because of it? Or am I the kind of person that when I am around, I'm just so self-focused and so worried about proving how smart I am and how good I am that I'm sucking the joy out of everybody else's life? Because we get to choose. We get to decide what kind of influence we have on the people around us, but it has to be a choice. It doesn't happen by accident. We don't accidentally fall into being the person that makes people better. We have to be very, very intentional about it. And in fact, when Jesus was preparing his friends, his disciples, before he went back up to heaven, he knew they were going to have to choose. Like, they had learned all of these things from him, and they'd seen him accomplish incredibly miraculous things, but now they got to choose what were they going to do next with all that they had learned and all that they had seen. And this is what Jesus says to his friends in Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, like, Jesus has this, like, one moment, these last words that he wants to, like, share his heart and encourage his friends and inspire them. And he says, you've got a job to do. I've got this mission that I want you to go out into the world and accomplish. And here's what it starts with. Go and make disciples. Jesus says we are called to disciple each other, to make disciples in the world. And this is what he'd given the job to those who'd followed him to make happen. But what's interesting is he prefaces it with, look, I have all of this authority. I have in heaven and on earth, I have all of this authority. And because God is so fun, he says, let me share it with you. Like, let me take this authority that I have and share it with you so that you can be part, you can be on the team to do this incredible work that he wants to accomplish in the world. Like, Christ's plan was never for it to stay in the small ragtag group of people, all that he had done. His plan was always for this group of people to go out into the world and share what they had learned and talk about what they had seen and do life with people in the kind of way that showed how incredibly awesome Jesus Christ is. Now, we didn't say, like, go be real religious, right? Like, be as religious as you know how to be. He said, let's point people to what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ. To go out into all of the world as far as we can and talk about what we've seen and what we've heard and what we've experienced. So we have to ask ourselves, what is a disciple, right? Like, we don't go to work tomorrow and talk about disciples. It's not a word that we use every single day, but it is a word that shows up a lot when you study the New Testament. In fact, it's used 260 times. There is a lot to say about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, just a disciple itself is a learner, a pupil, a follower, somebody who's apprenticing under somebody else. And when a disciple is trying to make a decision, they look to the person they follow to see how would they handle it. They look to the person that they say, okay, you're leading, I'm following. How would they say I should make these decisions? And when we study in the New Testament, the disciples were the group of people that followed Christ. Christ called them, they said yes, and they went where he went. They were the ones who looked to Jesus Christ to say, like, okay, where you're going, I'm going to go, right? Like, which way you go, give me direction, I'm going to follow and I'm going to go with you. So a disciple then is somebody who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and is growing into that person that God wants them to be. And then Jesus connects this with baptism. He says, go and disciple people and then baptize them. And baptism is this incredible symbol that says my life is identified with Jesus Christ. I love baptisms. It's one of my favorite things because we get to celebrate together when somebody says yes, like, I want to follow Christ, like, where he's going, I want to go, and I want to be the person he wants me to be, and that old way of life is gone, and I'm going to be a new person in him. It's this awesome expression of faith that we have that says, I belong to God, and I'm going to follow him. And this commitment, this inward commitment of faith that we make is expressed when we get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And saying it's not just about me anymore, it's about Christ in me and what he can do. And Jesus sets this incredible example for us because he came and made disciples. And he did it by inviting people to do life with him and do ministry with him and to be part of this adventure that he was going on and to try hard things with him. And he didn't just see who they were. He saw who they were becoming. He saw this incredible divine potential of who they might be in him. And what's fun is, he said, you get to be part of this plan. I've shared this incredible adventure with you. I've shared this authority with you. And we get to go now and be part of this work that he wants to accomplish in the world. Making disciples is being a multiplier. It is helping see the potential in other people and connecting them to Christ and calling out what's very, very best in each other. And that's the work that God's given us to accomplish, to be the kind of people who help others get better, to be the kind of people who connect others to Christ again and again and again, so that as we grow in our faith, we're helping others grow in their faith and looking for ways to include them in well. So how do we do this? How do we go about making this happen? The first place is we have to spend time with people. You can't disciple somebody from a distance, right? Like, it's not something that can happen if you're not willing to, like, be around somebody else. We have to do life with each other because we need people in our life who can help us grow. We need people in our life who can see the best in us and challenge us with that and call out the best in us and who will think through hard ideas with us and say, let's try this really hard thing together and let's be uncomfortable together and try something different together. We need to be discipled. We need the help of somebody who can help us learn and think about faith and challenge us to help grow us. But then at the same time, we also need to be helping to disciple somebody else. We need to share what we've learned and what we've experienced and what we've grown through and what we've struggled with and lean into the life of somebody else and say, let's walk through faith together. Not because I'm an expert or because I'm perfect or because I have it all figured out, but because as we do this, God helps us grow in our faith and others grow in their faith as well. What happens is the goal of the Christian life isn't just to get as smart as we know how to get or to learn all of the rules and to learn all of the verses and to learn all of the songs and gain all of the knowledge and just be smart and religious, right? Like, it's not this from here to here. It's this circular thing. What happens is as we grow up in Christ, we don't just reach this pinnacle and that's as high as it is to get. We get to a place where we get to reach back and help somebody else start climbing and growing in their faith with Christ. And then as they grow, we get to encourage them to help somebody else connect and grow in their faith with Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be an expert to start. You don't have to know everything and you don't have to be perfect. I love how the nuances of the New Testament works. Look, when Jesus says these words to his friends, like, they didn't just have like this moment where they crushed it and like had this, like, it was literally, they just abandoned Jesus. Like, Peter just got finished telling people he didn't even know who Jesus is. And Jesus didn't wait for them to, like, get it together and be perfect. But right where they were, he challenged them to go out and live this incredible life and be part of this adventure. And he does the exact same thing for us today. Like, we think, okay, I have to be at this place in my faith, or I've got to get this figured out, or I've got to be smart enough here. We just have to start. And we start by saying, I need somebody in my life who can help me connect more to Jesus Christ and who he wants me to be. And then I got to find somebody else that I can help connect to Jesus Christ and grow into who he wants them to be. We grow in our faith by doing life with each other. We learn from each other and we help each other grow and we encourage each other. And these are the steps that we take to grow into these men and women that Jesus Christ wants us to be. Now, here's what's interesting. This isn't just a church concept or a biblical concept. This is a life concept. As long as you can study the idea of apprentices and leaders and mentors is a huge deal in helping us grow in who we want to become. I read this incredible article in Forbes. This is what it said. Trying to do great things is difficult. Trying to do them alone is more often than not impossible. And that's why all great leaders have mentors and they mentor others. And it went on to say that there's three big benefits from having a mentor and being a mentor. The first one they said is you get pushed out of your comfort zone. We like our comfort zones, right? Like they are good. It's like a good comfy sweater that you put on when it gets cold outside. Like it just feels good, but we weren't meant to live life in comfort zones. And we need help getting pushed out of them every once in a while. And whether you're being challenged or encouraged or coached, when you have somebody discipling you, mentoring you, or you're doing it with somebody else, you have these moments where you get to have the courage to step away from the comfortable and try something different or think about things from a new perspective or try something out that you've never done before. It also said the second benefit is you get to learn how to accept and give feedback. What happens is when you agree to be in this kind of relationship with somebody else, you're giving them permission to see you. And not just like the fake us that we want the world to see, right? Like all of us, the junk that we're struggling with, the problems that we have, the bad thinking we're trying to work our way through, we're giving permission to be vulnerable with somebody else because we want to grow. And we don't give this permission to everybody, right? Because not all criticism is healthy criticism. Sometimes it's just mean. People are mean and they'll say mean things, but this is a trusted person who wants what's best for us. And what we're saying is, I give you permission, and this is who I want to be. And if you see me not being that person, let me know. If you see a way I could do it differently, let me know. We give permission to somebody else to speak to us in the kind of way that challenges us and helps us. And we accept the feedback not because it's easy to hear, right? Sometimes it's not, but because we want to grow into who we could become. And when we give somebody permission to help us that way, we also learn how to speak to other people that way, right? I want to give a constructive feedback, not to squash somebody or to diminish them, but to help them see a different way of doing life together. And this is the last thing they said. They said, having a confidant reduces stress. Said mentors do more than give advice and help brainstorm. They act as a confidant that you can unload your problems with. They'll listen, help you dissect exactly what's bothering you, and provide support as you think of solutions together. What happens is, as we build these relationships and do life with each other, we get to have a safe place that we just figure stuff out together, right? Like, do you ever just need a minute to like turn off and get it all out and work your way through and then go back at it again? That's what these kind of relationships do. They help us think through hard things and, okay, I want to be God's girl. What does it look like to be God's girl in this type of environment? How do I work my way through this type of situation to live out the values that I feel like Christ is calling me to be? So what happens is we get to be called to disciple each other and we get to be called to be part of this awesome adventure. But then Jesus also says, look, you spend time with each other, you do life together, and then you teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus said, you've spent all these years with me and you've heard all of these wonderful things that I've said and all of these ideas that I've been teaching you. Now I want you to take that, what you've heard, what you've been listening to, and I want you to go out and teach somebody else about it. I want you to talk about what you've seen and what you've heard and what you've experienced. The Gospels are an incredible place. If you haven't started, start there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pick one, go through all four of them. But we get to hear Jesus Christ. We get to see what he did and what he said and what he experienced and what he called people to be a part of and what he said to do. I mean, if you just take a couple of the ideas of what Jesus said, they're challenging and sometimes they're counterintuitive, but they help us approach life in a different way. He said, you're the light of the world. He said, when there is darkness, we get to be the ones who shine the light of Jesus Christ and point back to him. He said, we get to be the ones who love our enemy and pray for those who are the worst to us. Like, that's challenging, right? Like, I need somebody to help me wrestle with that one because I don't always want to. Let's be honest. I don't want to pray for the people who are mean to me. And if I do pray for them, I'm like, Jesus, if you've got a little lightning, right? Like, it's not the healthy things, right? We need help thinking through these ideas together because Jesus said we get to. We get to give to people in need and pray and forgive. And we get to not let the anxieties and the worries of this life rob us of the joy of following and trusting him. said, it's not our job to judge other people. Before we look at that little speck of dust that's in somebody else's eye, we take the big log out of our own eye, right? Because we've all got enough struggles to work our way through. He said, when we ask, we receive, and when we seek, we find, and when we knock, doors get to be open to us. He said, treat people the way you want to be treated. He said, when we are weary and exhausted and worn down, that we get to turn to him and find rest for our souls, because he is gentle and his burden is light. What happens is we get to connect with these incredible ideas of who Jesus Christ is and who he called us to be. Because sometimes he said, if I'm going to follow him, I got to deny myself. There are things I have to say no to so I can say a better yes to be who he's accomplished, called me to be. He said, people are going to know that we're his by how we treat each other, how we love each other. Jesus said, hear all of these things, remember them. Now go out and live them with somebody else. Go out and talk about them. Go teach them to somebody else. Take what we've learned and what we've experienced and share it with somebody else. All of these ideas aren't meant to be hoarded. They aren't meant to be hidden in between four walls. They're meant to be shared and lived and talked about and expressed together. And then look at what Jesus says. He makes this incredible promise. He says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said, look, this is an awesome adventure that we're going on, and it's not always going to be easy. There are going to be ups, and there's going to be downs, and there's going to be struggles, and there's going to be moments where it doesn't work, but you're not alone. This work that he's called us to do, he invites us to be part of it, but he doesn't leave us to it by ourselves. He says, when life gets hard, remember, I'm there. When you're overwhelmed and it seems like too much, remember, you aren't carrying the load alone. He said, remember, when you need help, who are you following? Who did you say, I'm going to look to him to show me the way to go? He said, when it feels like you just duking it out versus the world all by yourself, remember who is on your side and how mighty and wonderful and good that he is. From now until forever, we aren't in this alone. Because when we say yes to Jesus Christ, he partners with us to do this incredible life with him. The one who has, right, like all the authority, all the power in heaven and earth, shares it with us, invites us to be part of life with him, to be with us, even when we feel like we can't do it on our own. And he empowers us, and he encourages us, and he strengthens us, right? Like, we don't need the whole world on our side. We just need the right people, the right one or two people to have our back, to give us the courage to not give up when things get hard, to give us the courage to try the really hard things because we want to follow Jesus, right? Like, we want to do the next hard thing. And sometimes we just need somebody who says, try. I'll be there. If you fall, I'll pick you up, right? Or I'll fall with you and we'll look ridiculous together. But try. What's the worst that could happen? And Jesus says, you will not be doing life alone. You weren't created to. You were created to be in this incredible relationship with him and with each other. God's awesome idea for the church is this. We come together from all these different backgrounds and races and genders from all over the different north, south, east, and west. And though there's so many things that are different about us, right? There's so many things that should separate us. They are overwhelmed by the one thing that unites us, and that's our faith in Jesus Christ. We are united in him by our yes to be who he wants us to be. And what happens is when we say yes to Jesus Christ, he's like, all right, here's our mission. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to make happen. We're going to be lights for Jesus Christ in this world, pointing the way to him. We're going to let our lives be redefined by the awesome, incredible love of Jesus Christ. And we're going to live in the kind of way that people say, God's different than I ever thought he might be. And we're going to take all of these ideas that we've learned from Jesus, and we're going to take all of these things that we've been challenged with, and we're going to share them with each other. We're going to share them with other people. We're going to go out and point people to Jesus Christ and share what we know about him. Because there are people who don't know him. There are people who think they don't need him. There are people who have been so hurt and burdened by the church that they don't want anything to do with him. But God says it gets to be so incredibly different. Because when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, everything gets to change. And there's hope for those hurting moments, and there's rest for our exhausted souls and strength for when we are discouraged. And there's no better life we could do than a life connected to Jesus Christ. There's just nothing better that we could give our life to than following him. But it starts with us saying yes. It starts with us saying, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be his guy. I want to be his girl. I want to give all that I have to following him. But then it also requires a vulnerability to say, I'm going to let some people into my life and not try and do this by myself. Some of us have been through hard moments, and we fought and we slugged our way through them, and we got to the other side. And now it's our turn to say, I can share what I've learned in that experience with somebody else, right? We fought and did all of the work to be a good wife and a good husband, and now we get to help somebody else, not because we're perfect, not because we're going to make them perfect, but because we get to do life in the kind of way that helps each other. Some of us have overcome incredibly impossible circumstances, and our faith was sharpened and refined in those moments. And now we get to turn and give the help that somebody else needs to walk that path as well. Some of us just need to say yes to letting somebody else speak truth into our life. We just need to say, look, I need to learn. I need to be teachable, and we need to give permission to somebody else to know us in the kind of way that challenges us and connects us to Christ in ways we've never even thought about before. One of the incredible things that God does is he opens our eyes to thinking about life and faith and church and service and all of these powerful ideas different, because people think about things different, and we get to try things that we've never tried before. Nelson Mandela said this. He said, our human compassion binds us, the one to the other, not in pity or patronizingly, but as human beings who have learned how to turn our common suffering into hope for the future. We are united in our hope for the future because our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in this incredible God who nothing is too hard to do. And he invited us to be part of his team and his plan and his awesome work that he wants to get done in the world. And friends, it is a noble, noble thing to be invited into the work of Jesus Christ. And he said, let's do life together, right? Like, let's help each other grow and encourage each other and strengthen each other and challenge each other and comfort each other. Our goal isn't to prove like how smart we are or how religious we are or how good we are. Our goal is, how do we connect more and more and more to how wonderful and awesome our Jesus Christ is? Our goal is, how do we connect other people to how wonderful and awesome Jesus Christ is? So there's two questions that we have to ask. And if you're writing anything down, I want you to write these two questions down, because I want you to think about them this week. I want you to challenge yourself with them this week, and we're going to practice this together. Here's the first question. Who are you being discipled by? Like, who have you given permission to help you grow in your faith? Who have you given yourself permission to do life with, that they know you? Like, not just the pretend you that we put on when we go out into the world, but the real, authentic us that's trying to grow and has problem spots and has areas that need help and need somebody to shine the light in those dark spots every once in a while, right? Like, somebody who can say, like, you're being a jerk. Stop it, right? Or somebody who could say, like, man, have you ever thought about it this way before? Who have you said, I give you permission to help me, and you're learning and growing and doing life with them? But then the second question is, who are you discipling? Who are you spending time with and helping them connect to Christ? Who are you spending time with and sharing your life experience and what life has taught you and what you've grown with and what you've struggled with and what you're still working your way through? Who have you said yes to doing life authentically so that you can grow and encourage and strengthen each other? Because this is the work that Jesus Christ has called us to do. It's how we grow. It's how our faith grows. It's how we help each other grow. And it is exactly how the church does its best work here in the world. We help connect each other to Jesus Christ again and again and again and again. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would please encourage our hearts in this idea today. I pray, Father, that you would give us the strength to try. I pray that you would give us the courage to be vulnerable. I pray, Father, that you would help us connect with the right people to speak your truth and your goodness into our lives. I pray, Father, that you would help us to study together and challenge each other and work through these ideas together that we might grow more fully into the men and women that you've called us to be. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.